Yesler Terrace is Seattle's oldest public housing project. Over the next 15 or 20 years, its two-story houses will be systematically demolished and replaced with a series of high-rise towers. But Yesler Terrace itself was the product of a transformational process about 70 years ago. Dominic Black explores the radical roots of Yesler Terrace and how it came to be.
Yesler Terrace, where I'm standing now, was a product of the late 1930s. In a way, it was a product of the Great Depression. It was in the aftermath of the Depression that President Roosevelt's New Deal first reached Seattle, and that's when the Housing Authority of the City of Seattle was born. It's also when the authority's founding father and patron saint, Jesse Epstein, set about planning a unique, controversial project that would become Yesler Terrace. Now, Jesse Epstein was from Montana. He studied political science and constitutional and administrative law at the University of Washington in the 1930s. But he wasn't purely an academic. He wanted his work to have traction beyond that world. His research focused on the state of housing stock in Washington State in general, and Seattle in particular. And what he found in 1939 was that more than one in four families in the city were living in unsanitary and unsafe conditions. Or, as they were quaintly known in those days, slums. Tom Phillips was a youngster when he first met Jesse Epstein, and they remained close friends until Epstein's death in 1989. Epstein, he says, was his mentor, a man fascinated by the world, utterly engaged in civic life, and an ardent liberal. Epstein saw slum housing as a problem government action could solve.
He had a plan, and he was a very friendly guy. A very personable guy with really good social skills. And so I'm not sure if he wore it on his sleeve that what his plan was, but he did have friends and they were willing to be supportive of him and what he was doing, even though it was very controversial what he was doing.
I think the unease was not unlike the unease about Obamacare today.
Quintard Taylor is the Scott and Dorothy Bullitt Professor of History at the University of Washington.
That public housing was new, it was considered radical, it was considered different. In some circles, it was considered communistic. There were those who said the federal government has no business being engaged in the housing business. It shouldn't be involved. And there were concerns, I think major concerns, about where this path would lead. That there would probably be federal involvement in other areas. And so there was a significant minority, and I want to emphasize minority, but there was a significant minority that didn't like the idea of public housing.
Epstein knew the lay of the land. He also knew that the federal government had money available. All he needed was a pipeline to channel it through. So here's what he did. He lobbied the mayor of Seattle at the time, Mayor Langley, described as a progressive Republican. And essentially he said this, let's create a housing authority, then we'll apply to the feds for money, then we'll find a site in the city, and then we'll build the houses. The site, by the way, it should be somewhere that, you know, has maybe seen better days and would really benefit from complete annihilation. Meanwhile, the clock was ticking because the federal dollars for housing were already being dispersed all across the country. So by hook and by crook, Epstein and the mayor got the council in gear, and they passed a resolution on April the 20th, 1938, expressing a hope, and I'm quoting here, that an expression of intention by the city of Seattle will lead to an earmarking of funds for Seattle. Basically, we promise we'll form a housing authority. We promise. Can we please have some money before it all runs out? And the reply came back a week later from the U.S. Housing Authority in Washington, D.C. We should be glad to give you such assistance as we can in order to accelerate your low-rent housing and slum clearance program. The assistance took the form of $3 million. So the Housing Authority of the City of Seattle came into being through a somewhat labyrinthine process and was initially sheltered under the eaves of the city. It was kind of semi-detached, with Jesse Epstein as the first executive director. And his task now was to go about spending that $3 million on a public housing community unlike almost any other in the country, because that community would be racially integrated.
Then the situation becomes complicated with race, because there were those who said if public housing is going to be integrated, then that may lead to the integration of residential neighborhoods and schools and the like. And of course, that was problematic for a lot of people in Seattle and across the nation in the 1930s.
According to Irene Burns Miller, who worked at the Seattle Housing Authority, Epstein's thinking went like this. And I'm quoting here from Jesse Epstein in a staff meeting in 1940. We have an opportunity to prove that Negroes and whites can live side by side in harmony, but it's going to require skill and patience to make it work. So a staff member then asks Epstein whether there's going to be a limit on the number of African American families in the project, especially since they're the community most in need of housing because of discrimination in housing and wages. In other words, will there be a quota system? Epstein replies, "Let's avoid the ugly word quota, but we must limit the number of Negroes if we are to achieve integration. Keep in mind that we are determined on that. Coloreds and whites will live side by side. This in itself is revolutionary." Ugly word or not, the quota was 20%. It's important to remember, too, that there were other housing projects built by the Housing Authority at this time in the city that weren't integrated because the surrounding communities were resolutely white. So there's a feeling, really, that Epstein thought of Yesler Terrace as a small beginning, and that maybe he thought this part of Seattle was fertile ground for it because it was already more diverse than other parts of town. There were Filipino, Chinese, Japanese, African American, and Native Americans all living here in this neighborhood. So I was in a council meeting a few weeks back, and I was talking to a woman who lives in Yesler Terrace now, and I was telling her I'm doing a radio story, and she said, "Oh, so you're here to write the epitaph?" And that really got me thinking about how you would measure the success of Epstein's project. As a community, going by the testimonies of people who've lived here over the years, Yesler Terrace has really worked. But what about its place in Seattle's racial history?
I mean, it was a worthy effort. It was a grand experiment, and one wishes, you know, that the results had turned out differently, that Yesler Terrace would have been a model for integration in Seattle. But the facts are that ultimately, Seattle didn't really integrate its housing until the late 1960s, early 1970s, which was, you know, 30 years after Yesler Terrace was initially integrated. And by the 1960s, I'm not so sure Yesler Terrace itself remained integrated.
The population of Yesler Terrace now is incredibly diverse, but the people here face many of the same problems the first tenants faced: making ends meet, finding work, and getting access to educational opportunities, just the kind of difficulties that Jesse Epstein believed could be alleviated by projects like Yesler Terrace. As he said on a radio broadcast on Cairo in 1940, "Our job of education is only half finished if we do not give a guarantee of wholesome living to go with mental training." Public housing, he said, providing low rents for low-income families, has at last arrived. It is up to future generations to see that it stays. For KUOW, I'm Dominic Black.
Funding for our series about Yesler Terrace was provided by the KUOW Program Venture Fund. Contributors include Paul and Lori Ahern and the KUOW Board of Directors. To hear stories from our series or to learn more about the Program Venture Fund, go to kuow.org.